Why do we continue to serve him? You know, I've talked to men in this room, Pastor Surrett, Pastor Brubaker, Pastor Ogle, Dr. Childs, who have been serving for years in the ministry. And these men have had some serious struggles in the ministry, some serious hard times, some serious heartbreak. But what motivates them to keep going? I believe we have three reasons given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you take your Bible, please, tonight, and open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As we see the Apostle Paul, who he himself went through many trials, many struggles in his ministry. In this passage we're going to examine tonight, I believe we're going to see three motivations of the Apostle Paul. We're going to be reading a rather lengthy passage, and if I may ask if you would please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 9, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, which knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Three motivations we see in this passage, I believe the Apostle Paul states that kept him motivated to continue to serving the Lord is, first of all, we see the reality of judgment in verses 9 through 12. The second reason I believe Paul continued in the battle is found in verses 13 through 15, and is the restriction of love. In verses 16 through 21, we'll see the last reason, and it is the reconciliation of the lost. And you and I must continue to serve Christ and realize these are to be our motivation as we continue to follow him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Father, again, I thank you for this privilege and honor of being here tonight. Lord, I thank you for Pastor and Mrs. Surrett and their example to us. And Lord, I thank you that they have kept their focus on you. And Lord, as we examine tonight, why serve Jesus Christ? Lord, may we understand these motivations that the Apostle Paul had in his life. Father, I just pray you take these lips of clay and these feet of clay and use them for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse 9, Paul says, "Wherefore we labor." Why do I keep going? Why do I keep striving? Back in chapter 4, verse 17, he talks about his light affliction, and we've all been taken to chapter 11, where he lists shipwreck and all the different trials that he had been through and persecution by his own countrymen. But Paul continued on faithfully, laboring. He says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." The idea of accepted is well-pleasing. Paul said, "In my life, I want to be well-pleasing to Jesus Christ. whether I'm still in the body or I'm present with him and absent from the body, I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, he tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now I'm talking primarily to Christians tonight. And yes, every one of us is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, where we're going to be judged for what we have done for Christ. The judgment of rewards. Now praise God, this is not a judgment for sin, because our sin has already been paid for on the cross of Calvary. But it's going to be a judgment of rewards, Christian, for what we have done for Christ since we have been saved. Verse 10 continues, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, you just said we're not going to be judged for sin. No, this is not talking about condemnation of sin. Because, as I said, our sin debt was paid for on the cross of Calvary. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, God no longer sees my sin. It is washed away. He sees me as righteous as his Son, Jesus Christ. But what it says, good or bad, is not then talking about evil, but it's talking about the quality of the work. You see, if we're doing the right things for the wrong motive, then that would be a bad work. Our motives need to be pure. When we're serving God, it's not for the applause of men. Jesus said about the Pharisees that they were doing their works for the applause of men, and he said they have their reward. If you're doing things just so people will pat you on the back, you know, when they clap and say, wow, what a great job you've done, that's it. That is your reward. A corruptible reward that passes away. But Paul says we're to be striving for an incorruptible reward. Now, Brother Surrett, I thought you were taking all my points with this. They're a little bit earlier. You know, we are, as he mentioned, to be working for rewards. Paul mentions crowns we can earn, and he mentions rewards we can earn. And I want to have rewards, not because I want to brag of who I am, because that will not happen. But as I stand there before my judge, I am going to be so speechless, and I want to be able to say thank you. And the only way I'll be able to say thank you is to take those rewards he's given me and lay them down at his feet, because I'm not going to be able to say anything. I'm going to be so grateful at that time. So we must have the right motive, but also the quality of our work must be a good quality. Now, I still work part-time at Walmart, and I am one of the assemblers there. And I get to assemble all the furniture and the bicycles and all that type of thing. Anything comes in the store that needs to be assembled at our store, that's my job, is to put it together. But can I be honest with you? Sometimes I get discouraged with the quality of products we get. I have had pedals that have no threads on them. I have had pedals that have been threaded backwards. I have had bicycles that, you know, the parts that are supposed to already be put on it are falling off already. And, you know, the quality really lacks. I call them a bad product. And if we are not doing the best we can for the service of Jesus Christ, it's not a good product. It would be a bad work. But also, we need to be doing the right task. You know, there's many good things to be done, but we need to be doing exactly what God has called me to do. God has called me to pastor Freedom Baptist Church in Havelock, North Carolina, and that is the only job that I can do. I cannot be doing Brother Paul Crow's job as an evangelist. I would mess it up. I have to do the right work, the work that God has called me to do. Moms and dads, we can understand this. There's times we tell our children, you know, okay, today I want you to clean your room and do the dishes, and you know, but maybe your son likes to mow the grass, so he goes out and mows the grass trying to appease you. Well, he did a good work, but he did the wrong work. But the fact that I'm going to give an account of my life should motivate me to serve him. Verse 11, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. The terror of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. You know, I, growing up, feared disappointing my father. And the times that I would do foolish acts, and he would look at me and say, "Son, I'm disappointed." I'm telling you, many times that hurt worse than any other type of discipline he could have given me. Just hearing those words, "Son, I'm disappointed." When I stand before God, I do not want to hear, "Son, I'm disappointed." But I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Secondly, next we know, knowing that I must give an account and that the lost will spend eternity separated from God should motivate me to tell others. Now we'll be looking a little bit more at this, our last point, but knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men or win them over. Do we think of eternity as we're going about our business? Do we live with eternity's values in view, realizing that every person I come in contact with is going to live eternity somewhere, and I have the truth, I have the responsibility to tell them the truth of the gospel? So we have, see in verses 9 through 12, the reality of judgment. But secondly, in verses 13 through 15, we have the restriction of love. Verse 13, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." You know, as you're serving Christ, some people are going to call you a fanatic. "Well, why do you continue to serve God? Look at the trials he's allowed in your life. You know, a loving God shouldn't allow that to happen to you. And you're just so fanatical about serving him. I mean, you go Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and you're constantly reading your Bible. You're constantly praying. You just really seem to be a fanatic about serving God." Paul, in Acts 26, 24, we're told, "And he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself, with much, and much learning doth make thee mad.'" Festus saying to Paul, "Paul, you're mad. You're acting like a madman." But you know, as we are serving God, that's how the world will view us many times. But don't quit. Keep serving him. Because it's his love that constraineth us, as we see in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, that we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What kept Paul motivated to keep serving Christ? Christ's love for him. We love him because he first loved us. And you know, when I think of the trials of life, and when I think, "Oh, well, it's not fair," as we heard earlier, sometimes we want to say that in life, don't we? Well, you know what wasn't fair? It wasn't fair that God had to send his only begotten Son to this earth to allow men to beat him and to nail him to a cross and to plait a crown of thorns upon his head. And it's not fair that he had to hang upon that cross and shed his blood for my sin, that he had to pay the penalty that I could go free. But when we think of his love for us, Christian, that should motivate us to do nothing but love him back. You see, genuine love will motivate us to purity. "I keep myself pure because I love Susan sitting over here. And I keep myself pure for her because I love her." Well, as a child of God, I should keep myself pure for him and avoid the filth of this world and get the sin out of my life so that I can live a pure life for him. We have seen the reality of judgment as a motivation for continuing to serve the Lord. The restriction of love as a motivation for serving the Lord. Then in verses 17 through 21, the reconciliation of the lost. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, I am not what I once was, because I am a new man. The old things are passed away. And you know what's sad to me is seeing so many times Christians who are fooled by Satan into looking back at the old life and desiring to go back and wanting to go back and say, you know, but it was so good. But they forget the bondage of the sin that they were in. But Christian, we should be motivated to say, I'm putting off the old things. All things are becoming new as I continue to follow him. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. The strength I have to serve him is from God. All things are from God, who's reconciled me to himself. So how can I do any less but share that faith with others? Share the gospel with others so that they too have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, as I go about my life, I need to look in the eyes of every person I meet. And I'll be honest with you, folks. This is what we sometimes tend to do. We see a person who maybe has their hair colored four different colors and is sticking out every which way, and they have body piercings all over them, and they have tattoos all over their body, and they're dressed, you know, very sloppily, and we tend to avoid such a person instead of realizing they are calling out for help. They're calling for somebody to love them. And what we need to do instead of avoiding them is go to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, let me tell you of one who changed my life. Let me tell you of one who has saved me. Let me tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will love you and he will change you if you only accept him as your personal Savior. You think about the privilege we have as Christians to be the spokesman for God. As we go about our daily lives and we preach the word of God to others and we're sharing with others, we're witnessing to others, we are speaking for our Father, for our King. Because verse 20 says that we are ambassadors. Now, Brother Ogle, we have a Marine in our church who served on MSG duty both in Jerusalem and Estonia. MSG, Marine Security Guard. Duty, I'm sorry, I'm back to all the initials for everything. And I forget that many times civilians don't understand all the initials that the military has for absolutely everything. And but he stood on Marine Security Guard duty in Jerusalem and in Estonia. But when he got there, he did not wear the uniform of the United States Marine. They gave him a clothing allowance, a huge clothing allowance, and he was supposed to go out and buy all kinds of clothing. He was supposed to buy very nice shirts with cufflinks, and he was supposed to buy very nice ties, not cheap suits, because he has pictures that he showed me standing with the former President George Bush, and he's standing with heads of state, and because he was standing there as a representative of the United States of America, he was to be standing there dressed appropriately, acting appropriately, and everything he did was supposed to be representing us as United States of America. Because while he was not the ambassador, he was on the staff there, and he had the responsibility of representing the United States. Well, let me ask you, Christian, we represent one higher. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and why do we act so sloppy about it at times? There should be nothing sloppy in the Christian life. I'll tell you one thing about Pastor and Mrs. Surrett, they do not do things sloppily. They do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. And that is how our life should be. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about getting praise. It's about him. And I am representing the King of Kings, and I need to do it to the best of my ability. Because I am an ambassador. An ambassador of a country to which I've not yet been. But I can't wait to get there. An ambassador of heaven. Because I am a citizen of heaven. I'm not a citizen of this world. I am not, I'm just passing through here, and my citizenship is so much greater than here, and so I need to act like an ambassador as I go around, not just my king, but my father that I represent. And as I said earlier, I never wanted to bring discredit upon my father. I never wanted to disappoint my father. And I certainly do not desire to disappoint my heavenly father. So why are we faithful in serving the Lord? We're faithful because there's a reality of judgment. We're faithful because of the restriction of love. We are faithful because of reconciliation of the lost. Now, I am not a poet, and I very rarely write poetry, but there are certain events in my life that sometimes I just feel I can express in a poem. And so as I was thinking about Pastor and Mrs. Surratt, I had written this poem. It says, if the servant of the Lord, you should ask, what keeps you going at your task? His humble reply may simply be, I'll tell you, then you shall see that other men, I am no braver. I simply want to please my Savior. One day before him, I'll be called to stand to be rewarded from his hands. The works I have done, both good and bad, will be known, the motives I had. I don't run or strive for man's favor, but to hear, well done, from my Savior. His great love constrains me in the saddle and gives me strength for the battle. He suffered great upon that old tree and died to save and set me free. This blessed thought I truly savor, that one day I will meet my Savior. Just one more reason why I run the race and never cease to preach his grace. When I look into another's face, I must question, where is his place? This is why I can never waver from duty and service to my Savior. Three motivations that Paul gives us to continue to serve the Lord. The reality of judgment. The restriction of love. And the reconciliation of the lost. Let's follow the example that has been set for us. As he follows Christ, let's continue to follow Christ and serve with a pure motivation. Let's bow for a word of prayer.